This is his time. You're listening to Pastor Jonathan Fisk speak with Dr.
Yes.
Dr. Daniel Harmelink of the Concordia Historical
Institute. It's Thursday morning.
It's Thursday morning. This is historically speaking, which I'm thrown off because we didn't have it last week.
I'm thrown off because it's December already.
Yeah, well, I just moved. I don't even know what month it is, right? I went to an Advent service last night, which was
nice.
Keep
your driver's license in your pocket.
Yeah.
And the photos of your kids.
Yeah, right? so that I don't forget these things, my own name. So we got a number of items to possibly discuss this week. And again, I hope eventually this comes across. I am an avid fan of history. I think it's just fascinating stuff.
Well, good. You can stay then.
And so, yes, right. But trying to pull these pieces out sometimes is the challenge, is finding out, you know, where's the story and what went on and the people there. So where would you like to start today? Do you want to start by promoting what's happening next week on Concordia campus, maybe?
Sure.
All right.
We're having after I get done here, we're having an organizational meeting to put the bow around this event that we'll have next Thursday, December 8th, in Coburg Hall. That's at Concordia Seminary on the campus of the seminary in St. Louis. We're having a special guest speaker talk about the hymns of Martin Luther. This is Mr. Peter Reske. He is senior editor of music and worship at Concordia Publishing House. He's come out with a whole book unfolding these beautiful hymns of the Reformation.
Is that book coming from CPH as well? Do you know?
Yes, it's out.
Okay.
So millions of people right now are going to Amazon or CPH website to order that book right now. But it's amazing, you know, Luther, we think of, you know, especially in 2017, we'll very soon tire of seeing Martin Luther nailing the 95 Theses, which was just the beginnings of the Reformation.
Right.
But he was not only a theologian, but he was an accomplished hymn writer.
I think a lot of people don't know that. I mean, prolific. He wrote, I mean, we don't even have all of his hymns translated into English.
I mean, you'd think he'd just write A Mighty Fortress and then just live the rest of his life off the residuals on that. Well, but it's amazing how many hymns he wrote.
He firmly believed that music was a tool to help people remember things, right? And so to get into the ear of the people, the words of scripture, basically, he took them and rewrote them, and then they sang them. And also, I think a lot of people don't know how little there was congregational singing in the church before the Lutheran Reformation, that this was very much Luther's gift. Even to the Roman Catholics today, they sing more than they did because of Luther's hymns.
Right. So one of the abuses of the Catholic Church, we always think of indulgences, but one of the other abuses is the hierarchy, the monks, the bishops, basically took for themselves the church's music.
Right. Yeah, and did it. And didn't let anyone else do
it. So Luther didn't do anything new or never been done before. He gave what properly was a gift to the whole church. He gave that back to the church.
Yeah.
So when people come into a Lutheran church and they say, man, you guys do a lot of singing, it's like, well, this is getting you ready for heaven.
Right, right. And so again, now that we got this event on December 8th at noon, Coburg Hall, Concordia Seminary St. Louis, free event. Mr. Peter Reske?
It's a $15.
Oh, there it is.
There's lunch included. So if you're thinking about that, call us this morning, early afternoon today, because we have to get the final numbers in. So 314-505-7900-CHI. Give us a call and let us know you're coming so that we'll have something other than a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for you.
And I'm sure as you're digging into those texts of Luther, I mean, you can go look at some right now. Just go to your hymnal, look in the back. You'll see a place where it has authors of hymns. You can find Luther. There's probably, 12 hymns there of his.
Mm-hmm.
You go read those texts, you just be amazed. You know, it was a strange and dreadful strife when life and death contended. The victory remained with life. The reign of death was ended. Just phenomenal stuff.
Settle down.
Yeah. Oh, I can't.
Hey,
I can't.
That reminds me, again, you know, CHI is partnering with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in producing these Faces of the Reformation series, which is on LutheranReformation.org website. These are free resources that people can use, individuals can use, also congregations. It includes Bible studies on 25 personalities associated with the Reformation. And for that, I've picked a Reformation hymn to outline their life and their teachings. So again, rediscover the wealth of Reformation hymnody.
Right.
Especially as it's presented
this next year. It's kind of funny, like, in so many ways, the reason to be a Lutheran is our songs. And recapturing that may be part of our future if we want to have a strong one. So you guys just had a big banquet, too. I know Todd was here a couple weeks ago to talk about that, but it was more than just one award given out. There was quite a bit that happened, right?
It was a blessing to have Mark Granquist, who authored a book that will be the standard text when it comes to the history of the Lutheran Church in North America. It was great to have him receive the award and to be present. He teaches at Luther Seminary, but there were 17 awards given over a variety of media or subjects. So we have congregational histories, we have historical novels. You know, these are big right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like it's based on history, but there's a little more added
story.
Added fluff on story.
Well, so name one of those that, I mean, the historical novel, because I know the people who listen to his time, that is something they'd be interested in, is a historical novel that is going to be about our history. Right.
The award given out for that category, it was done by Ingeros Paust. It's called The Exodus of the 800, an Adventure of a Congregation. It's loosely based on the Missouri Synod of Lutherans coming to Missouri, but she tells it in her own special way. And this was available. It was a hit in German several years ago, and then recently it's translated into English.
Right.
So now it's available, and
The Exodus of the 800.
People are rediscovering that.
An Adventure of a Congregation by mm-hmm. Ingeros Paust, mm-hmm. right? So you probably type in Exodus 800, and you'll find that on Amazon or CPH.
Right, it's made available by Concordia University Press in Austin, and shout out to them for making that project a reality.
And let me just give, if you want, I mean, this is an amazing story. You have a couple congregations in Germany who believe that they are losing Christianity. They get convinced to go overseas. They sell everything they have. They get on three boats. They go across the water. One of the boats doesn't make it. Right? Along the way, mm-hmm. the bishop they're following has a bit of an issue, and by the end of this whole thing, you got C.F.W. Walther in the Missouri Synod. It's gnarly. It's a gnarly tale. Okay.
So we want to thank those who submitted nominations. We're looking for nominations for next year. We do this every year. So if you know of a book that touches on Lutheran history in North America, maybe you're involved in writing that or producing it or publishing it or distributing it, give CHI a call. We'd love to consider that for next November.
And you gave a paper, and then there's also, I mean, this caught my eye, you got a new exhibit opening.
Yeah, it's always strange when people, you know, you get people are well-fed at a meal, and then you have a talk immediately after that.
In a dark room.
So I talked about the mission and ministry of CHI. And again, in the booklet, I quote from the parable of the talents, and we see that there are well-intended people that take the treasures God has given them and bury them in the backyard thinking now they're safe.
Right.
And when it comes to the history of the church, when it comes to the history of the Lutheran church, that's the wrong approach.
Right.
So, our Lord commends the person who took the talent and put it into service. He put it into circulation. He did business with it.
Sure.
And so it is with the history of the Lutheran Church in North America. We have to get it in circulation.
Right.
And so we're not only an archive. You know, some people say CHI is the addict of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. But if it's only an addict where old stuff is put in a box,
right.
We're not doing what God has called us to do. So this presentation was called Trumpeting the Treasures. And this is kind of the theme at CHI. We're not only about preserving or collecting what is historic, but how do we get people excited about the history of the Lutheran Church by using these things in a responsible way?
Right, and finding a way to even have them be aware that they're available, right? So again, like this... This event you have, pressed into service by the Word of God, an exhibit of rare books and coins.
Coming up in February?
Starting February 18th. Is that going to be here in the museum downstairs?
That we will have a case here at the International Center in Kirkwood. We will also have a full exhibit on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. And I believe we're making plans to have that exhibit spill into the lobby here at the International Center.
Yeah. So why are coins important to the Lutheran Church?
Oh, don't get me going on that.
I know. I mean, really, I mean, they came from somewhere. Most people don't even realize it, right? That we have this history of coinage.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Concordia Historical Institute has the most significant institutional collection of Reformation coins and medals outside of Germany.
Huh.
And so CPH and I partnered to have an exhaustive catalog of this collection. It came out a couple months ago. But there I argue that these are not, again, it's not something that they were struck, minted, and then everyone put them in the safety deposit box to take out in 100 years. These were pressed in gold and silver and bronze, statements of the Lutheran faith to be shared. So a lot of the coins and medals that we have in the collection, they actually have a little loop soldered on the top of it. Why? Because these were worn.
Right. Yeah.
As public witnesses of the Lutheran faith. So I think the rare books, obviously, you know, the printing press, we all talk about how that changed or that gave Luther a big leg up as far as, you know, Jan Hus didn't have the printing press, Luther did. But I think also the mints produced thousands and thousands of coins and medals on these jubilees of the Reformation. And we forget that that, too, was a medium to share the gospel.
Well, I mean, today it's very common for a Christian to wear a cross, right? So a brooch of some kind, but it was very easy now. And that wouldn't have been the case. But now, you know, at least among the nobility, look, I got a Luther seal on my coat because I'm a Lutheran. What does that mean? It means, you know, the cross is at the center, the blood of Christ, all the things that teaches us. Rare books as well, that books don't last forever. And when you have one that's printed by somebody, a particular work, and it's the only copy.
It's incredible that in the time of Luther, you know, they used to print these little pamphlets, Flugschriften. 3 million of these were printed during Luther's lifetime. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Getting the word out.
Right.
This was in the center of the Reformation, and at CHI, it's also what we're about.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can see some of that stuff that'll be starting in February, both
February
in the lobby.
18th, February 18th, the Saint Day of Luther is when we're going to open that up. It's a Saturday, and it's going to be a fantastic exhibit talking about how Luther and others, they didn't sign up to suffer for the sake of the gospel. The Word of God pressed them into service.
Right.
And Luther says this at the Diet of Worms. He says, "I am compelled by the Word of God."
Yeah.
It's not something that he thought up.
Right. He was conscience struck by his sin and by Jesus being the answer to his sin, and it ignited the freeing of consciences around the world. And there are relics, not that we would worship them, but artifacts of this movement, right?
Touchstones,
and CHI exists to not just hold those, but to make them seen, and not just of kind of the ancient Lutheranism in the 1500s, but also to support the Missouri Synod history. So that's a lot of good stuff today.
The song
I appreciate
goes
it.
On. Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Daniel Harmelick of CHI, historically speaking, here on His Time, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. We'll be back in a moment.